I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And tonight's program will be teaching a technique called dolphin starlinking. And in addition to that, we'll be having some hot tips on abundance and also getting into some advice concerning avoiding pitfalls and minefields along the path of the spiritual journey. But before we get into all of that, we'd like to kick off the program in the usual way by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari.
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to take this opportunity to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the listening audience of ET Yoga, and just for being you, because we already know that you're making the optimum difference just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. I'd like to also invite the listening audience to contact me concerning questions around any subject that's brought up on this program. No strings attached. You can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I also much appreciate hearing your suggestions concerning program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing concepts, ideas, or techniques that you hear on this program. And I know many times I hear from longtime listeners that just never got around to emailing me. I much appreciate this form of communication. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, and technology. Okay, I'd like to now continue on with getting into the topic of dolphin star linking. Although, before I get into some of the details there, I'd like to make this connection between the Indians and the Pleiadians. Now, the Native Americans were illegally forbidden to practice their traditional rituals and ceremonies, and you may wonder what Native Americans have to do with the Pleiadians. But their stories are in their legends, and much of which has been encoded, kept secret, or hidden. And in certain Cherokee legends, for example, it is said that their people originated in the Pleiades long, long ago. They claim to have come to this world as star seeds to bring light and knowledge. And if the stories are true, then the modern-day Cherokee, as well as other Native Americans, and many of us with Native American blood, contain. Certain Pleiadians are highly evolved. And and they also are here to help the human species. The Pleiadian realm is the next step or level in our human evolution, and it is for this reason that certain knowledge is being given to us by specially enlightened Pleiadian beings, and there are those that want to help us toward our higher spiritual destiny. And these special Pleiadian forces reside at a very high frequency that is lighter than what we know, and thus the term light is often applied to them. And the higher and lighter the frequency, the closer to the God source one becomes. Eventually, all will become pure light at the center of creation, which is God or spirit or whatever name you choose to call it. And as we evolve, gaining wisdom and true understanding about our real essence, we begin to open up more to love and to feel our connection to one another and the universe. In the earth realm, love is only experienced and known at a low level compared to all that is and that truly exists. The God spirit frequency is beyond anything we know. It is pure love, it's pure light. And as we strive and come closer to that center of creation, we will know love completely and be totally in the light. Although in physical time, the Pleiadians are 541 light years away, they have learned to navigate other worlds, although not always in spaceships. They understand our fear of the unknown, and so they come to help us in ways that are not threatening. They're coming now, sometimes in physical form, which they can blend in, but most often through human consciousness. Their intent is not to harm, but to help us evolve and to develop. And the Pleiadian message and action is not always one that you might comprehend at first. Thinking with a purely human mind, you might imagine that they will fly in some sort of spacecraft. It is often difficult or impossible for the human mind to grasp the scope of what is not familiar. Turning into higher wisdom often is not always come in the form that we think it should. Try thinking about time concepts, if you will. Suppose that the past, the present, and the future all exist at the same time right now. That certainly is not an impossibility if you consider time travel. Suspend that thought for a moment. Time travel. Time travel is possible through consciousness. So often, this is how wisdom and higher information is passed to us. Without crossing the barriers of time, the human race would get stuck and stay right where it's at. It's through the crossing of time that the higher Pleiadian forces actually have a communication and bring that light and information to us. This information is vital in our spiritual development. And certain Pleiadians have chosen as their work a very noble and serious purpose to help us. And they strive to work through the layers of human consciousness to bring higher wisdom from the place they dwell at. They're not God, yet they bring wisdom, as many have brought wisdom through the ages from the higher realms. Their purpose is not to save your soul, but to enlighten you to the power and beauty of who you are and to the divine creation of which we are all a part. People, or so-called channelers, that bring in certain information are in no way divine or special. They're simply willing to tune into another plane, another time, and receive information. Many humans have always had this capacity to do this, and there will be some that will actually take that chance and put it out there for others to partake of. And I wanted to make that connection before I get into the exact technique of this dolphin starlinking, because the seven sisters of the Pleiades, or the seven suns or stars of that system, have a direct connection to each of your chakras. And this link up is made by envisioning a golden infinity symbol between your chakras, connecting each chakra to the specific star or sun to which it is being linked. And this link up between the seven sisters of the Pleiades and your chakras has been practiced in other civilizations for at least the last 100,000 years and probably more. The Maya today still know of these link-ups between the chakras and the Pleiades. And the Aboriginal cultures, the Cherokee and the ancient Egyptians, to name only a few, have known of their relationship to the Pleiades for a great long time. For you see, within the solar ring, our sun is part of a smaller microcosm system, which includes the seven stars of the Pleiades. And our sun holds the direct link to your soul, while the Pleiades hold the link to your individual chakras. The nearest star or sun to the planet on which physical beings live is always the source of soul connection. Now I want to have you visualize a map of the Pleiades, and I would suggest that probably the best way to do this is to go online and search for the Pleiades constellation. And I'm going to give you the names of the stars in the Pleiades system that connect with specific chakras. And the first I'm going to give is the crown chakra, and we'll work our way down from the crown down to the base chakra. And the first is Maya, M-A-I-A, and that is would be called planet A, or the crown chakra. Tegeta, T-A-Y-G-E-T-A, or the B, or the third eye chakra. Electra, E-L-E-C-T-R-A, would be the throat, or the fifth chakra, or the C star. The D star would be Merope, M-E-R-O-P-E, which would connect with the heart chakra and be the D star. The E star, Atlante, A-T-L-A-N-T-E, the E star, or the solar plexus. And Pleione, P-L-E-I-O-N-E, or the F star and the sacral chakra. So the idea here would be to make yourself a little map of the Pleiadian star system, and then visualize an infinity symbol that connects your chakra with that star. And I appreciate that sometimes information comes fast and furious on ET Yoga. And if you weren't able to grab all that information, you can always access the archives, which show up about at the latest the Tuesday after the program on Saturday. And there's no strings attached to this. It's just a free service, and you can hear a replay of the program, and then you can follow along at your leisure. And one of the best ways to do that is to go to my website at etyoga.com. And at etyoga.com on the main page is a button there called Radio Archives. It's very visible. And all you need to do is push that one button, and it'll take you to the most recent programs. I'd like to also continue with this concept of linking not only to our chakras, but when our soul was created and when you were born in each lifetime, your consciousness and soul literally passed through the dimensional gateways of the sun. And as you move through these gateways, four things happened. First, you were imprinted with your own soul creation energy and higher purpose relative to all of your incarnations on Earth. This encoding aligned you with your purpose for the individual lifetime, as well as your overall purpose for all lifetimes. The second imprint was from your soul to the sun. The encodings and messages for your lifetime that you had received prior to downstepping to take on a body were imprinted into the sun's matrix. In other words, your soul imprints the sun with the encodings that you need it to reflect back to you throughout this lifetime. The third purpose of moving through the sun was for your soul to be imprinted with the collective consciousness encodings for the time period during which you would be living on Earth. This is a planet of co-creation. Therefore, when you come into an individuated lifetime, you must align with the overall purpose for the planet, the solar ring, the Pleiadian system, and the entire galaxy, as well as with your own purpose for being here. Therefore, any of the priorities, the currently agreed upon solar ring and planetary laws, as well as goals for these systems, must be imprinted in such a way as to align your personal goals with those of the entire planet, solar system, and galaxy. The fourth reason for moving through the sun is that the sun continually holds a relationship to all beings on Earth individually and collectively. From the collective standpoint, being merged with the sun is the equivalent to being merged with the divine essence of every individual on Earth at the same time. Moving through the sun prior to coming into a body gives you a last-minute reference point, so to speak, in oneness with all that is. During that blending and movement through the sun, there is great harmony, love, devotion, and cooperation. It gives you an energy boost spiritually from the standpoint of feeling inspired by oneness while moving into individuation. It prepares you to experience individuation with the minimal sense of separation that your soul is available to experience at that time. So, you know, isn't it ironic that in our modern world we have so much fear generated about the sun? You know, way back when I first started doing ET yoga, I did some research concerning sunscreens, and basically I found out that for the most part, those sunscreens basically contributed to creating cancers. And I've always been a big believer of using the natural oils like olive oil and argan oil and the different oils mixed with water, and use that as a sunscreen or body protection, if you like, because I tend to spend a lot of time in the sun. And I've found those to be highly effective. But yet behind here is this intent. There's always been this generated fear of the sun. And I appreciate that everybody has to use their own common sense, you know, concerning, you know, their skin texture and how long they can stay in the sun and that kind of thing. But as usual, our society has been fed a load of garbage concerning what we should put on our skin. And not only that, but even today's news, I heard that, I believe it was Elon Musk that has this big project, or it's Bill Gates, one of the two that were involved with trying to dump a lot of, I don't know, materials into the atmosphere to dim the light of the sun. I mean, all this kind of stuff, I think, is absolutely no accident that we're involved in an ascension process, and they're trying to block as much of this high-coded information that's coming to us that we need from the sun. And I've always thought of the sun as like a spiritual father. And like, it's just so ridiculous to me to hear all this gibberish about fear of the sun. And personally, those higher, what some people would like to call the radiation, as far as I'm concerned, I'll take anything from the sun that I can get. And also, I've expanded that concept out into getting into the practice of sun gazing. And I use a technique that was taught by Hira Ratan Manik. That's H-I-R-A-R-A-T-A-N Manik, M-A-N-E-K. He's been studied by scientists in NASA, and he's got an amazing program. It's very simple to do. I suggest you look it up. I'm at the 34-minute mark, so I do gazing at the sun for 34 minutes, and the maximum you work up to is 44. And again, this is it's a very, very powerful technique, and there's lots of people that, you know, claim that at a certain number of minutes, like it's around 30 and up, that pretty much all disease dissipates from the body. It improves eyesight, activates areas of the brain that were not active before, gets all the colors of the sun into all your different organs. So it has a hugely beneficial technique that basically costs nothing. It's a question of your time. And you start off with 10 seconds, and then you add 10 seconds every time you do it. The process is cumulative. And so, you know, if it rains for a week, you're not, you know, starting over. And eventually you build your time up 10 seconds at a time. I've been kind of at this now for, I don't know, a year and a half or so. It does take time to get up to the maximum levels, but it's really, really well worth it. I'd like to, at this point, continue on with sharing with you a concept that that I picked up from Bashar a few years ago. And by the way, that dolphin star linking came from the Pleiadian Tantric Workbook, or what's commonly known as Awakening Your Divine Ba. And it was written by the late Amora Kuan Yin. And really lots of amazing information as well as techniques are in those books. Pleiadian Tantric Workbook, Awakening Your Divine Ka and Awakening Your Divine Ba by Amora Kuan Yin. And the information from Bashar was a concept, actually, that kind of goes like this: outer circumstances don't matter, only state of being matters. And it also ties in with another one of Bashar's quotes, which is that believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. Another one of those concepts that we've learned to have kind of butt backwards. And he gives some interesting advice concerning the concept of abundance. And he states that in this time of awakening, we don't wait for our reality to reflect to us the evidence of what we want more of in our life. Instead, we incarnate and cultivate the vibration of the things we want to experience more. Waiting to see signs of abundance in our life before declaring how abundant we are is an innocent and beautiful misunderstanding of the nature of reality that we don't need to carry anymore with us. We have taken on from others a way of blind understanding the universe that is completely upside down. The conditions of our life doesn't determine the kind of experience we are going to have. It is the vibration that we emanate that designs how our life will unfold, and not the kind of experiences we are going to have. And to kind of amplify upon that, no matter the circumstances of our life, we will always find in our reality the evidence of what we think we are. If I hold on to a belief that there is not enough money in my bank account, I will look at my reality and find all the evidence that proves to me that what I believe is actually true. And I will go on my journey emanating the vibration of a beggar and complaining about the shitty circumstances of my life. This is a direct quote from Bashar. And he says, if I put my attention on the things I already have and find happiness with what is already there, I will step into the vibration of abundance and joy, and sooner or later I will see the evidence of that reflected in my life. But most of the time, we won't even notice the change. Why? Because to realize that there is more abundance in my life than before, the feeling of abundance must be something that I am not used to experience. It is about contrast. If I define myself as someone abundant, no matter what are the circumstances of my life, how can I see any new situation as a better sign of abundance? Abundance was already there before things changed. If we want to step out of repetitive patterns, it's very important to be aware of how we define the things around us. The definitions that are printed in us about what is a sign of abundance and what is not will be activated according to what shows up in our reality, and it will make us oscillate between two poles. This will go on until we are not relying anymore on what shows up in our life to define who we are. And the truth is, when we are truly transformed, we won't even find that everything has changed. Just some blurry memories of a certain state of being will remain, as if it belonged to someone else. What a wonderful game, magically orchestrated by the graceful hands of the universe. If you want to make more abundance in your life, don't try to fix or change what is coming to you. Instead, change the relationship you have with it. Turn everything into a point that you already are abundant. If it seems too difficult regarding your circumstances, that doesn't mean there is no proof of abundance. It simply means you're not using your imagination to the best of its capacity. Our freedom does not reside in our ability to choose the circumstances of our life. It resides in our ability to choose how we want to experience them. And I'd say that's pretty good words of advice coming from Bashar. And if you're not familiar with Bashar is from the Esasani civilization, which is, according to him, moved up and is now called the Shakani. And over the course of years, I found a lot of good information coming from Bashar. Very, very highly accurate stuff. I'd like to now move into the third part of the program this evening, which is going to be talking about minefields and kind of pitfalls along the spiritual journey. As the years have gone by, I find that the more self-empowered you are, the more that you understand how the universe works, and you also understand more about how health and the human body works, and the two kind of go hand in hand. And just to give you a specific example of that, our modern scientists are now coming up with information that states that the universe is consciousness, and that it's holographic in nature, and that it's also fractal, and that it operates much like a giant reality computer program. And like every computer program, there's a language of interpretation. And the language of interpretation is belief. In simplified terms, what you believe is. And this is most commonly reflected in our society in what's known as the placebo effect. Why does the placebo work? Because you believe it. The thing that people don't make the connection because they don't expand the dots is that it's not just true in the medical field. It's true in every single area of your life, what you believe is. And at the foundation of ET Yoga is clearly the concept of self-realization. But the cornerstone of the building blocks all are about belief. And that's why I call ET Yoga the new yoga. It's a yoga of belief. And interestingly enough, even though I've had formal training from some of the top masters on the planet, Sri Swami Satchidananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi, I've had some amazing teachers, but and many have taught different branches of yoga, but I heard maybe the odd comment about belief, but in my opinion, now looking back on all of it, belief should have been one of the major branches of integral yoga. It should be a branch of yoga in itself because it impacts so much on your daily world. And once you start doing your inner homework and find out where you acquired your beliefs, you find that during the first 6 or 7 years of life, you're downloading beliefs that you got from your original caregivers. And if you never do your inner work, you just keep those same beliefs throughout your whole life, and they just keep repeating over and over and over. So you see the same circumstances repeating over and over and over. And a couple weeks ago, I actually did a segment on ET Yoga concerning how to change beliefs. I'm not going to get into that tonight because of limited time, but you can go in the archives and look at some of the archives are labeled this according to certain topics that were covered in that show. And if you look in the archives, if you're interested in that and you missed that program, I give a Pleiadian technique and a Bashar technique for changing beliefs. And it's very important inner work. And so what I found is that when you start to understand how important belief is in terms of the universe and in terms of what you experience, because what you experience in your outer world is a reflection of your emotions and your definitions and your intentions and your beliefs. This is what you experience in your outer world. And until you get that point, it's a very critical point in terms of spiritual progress, in my opinion. In fact, even Merlin the Magician said that if you can't understand that concept, you're going to be stuck in a 3D world of polarity. So it's very important to understand that we are co-creators of our experience. And so this is how and why we're experiencing our outer reality. And then if you flip that over and take a look at your health, it comes down to the same thing, is that it's basically about what we believe. And Dr. Bruce Lipton has an amazing video out. It's quite long. It's 2 hours, but it's worth it. And it's called The Biology of Belief. And it's free online. You just look it up. And he shows the exact process. Now, for years and years and years, I've known of the abstract concept and have actually practiced, you know, certain aspects of healing. But I never knew all the specifics that he brings up in this, the biology of belief. And so basically, you know, your body and your health are also directly connected to your beliefs, what you learned about health when you were growing up and how it manifests and how that belief turns, the brain uses those beliefs to manifest the chemicals that it produces in your body to produce what you really are intending, and how much control we have. And further to that, I also learned that your disease, and I learned this from the Pleiadians, is basically emotional dysfunction. So all things like chronic diseases and stuff, it doesn't just come out of the blue. It comes out because you have issues that need to be resolved. And these issues reside in your auric field, as does your consciousness. Your consciousness is not in your brain, as you've been told. And everything shows up in your auric field first before it manifests in the physical body. And even science now is showing that the universe actually flashes in and out of existence. And it does so quickly, like thousands of times per second, that, you know, our eyes don't pick up on it. But the truth is that our physical bodies aren't even here half the time. So, which also proves that the part that does stay here, which is your auric field and your consciousness, that's the place where the Pleiadians say that's where thought exists, in between the flashing in and out of the universe. But at the same time, once you understand the process here that of why you have disease, and then you can work on ways of enhancing your aura and problem solving through and dealing with emotional issues that create these problems. And that's why things like Qigong are very useful in terms of balancing out your organs. Why things like Egyptian healing rods are very effective in terms of enhancing your auric field and healing sort of separations in your auric field. Sun gazing, another one of those that I call advanced healing techniques that assist in this process. So from my point of view, your self-empowerment and what you know about the universe and why things happen and why things happen in the body are all directly connected. Bashar also has a very interesting set of foundational steps that he calls for good health, and it's around having proper water, which does not contain fluoride, proper oxygenation of the body, which can be achieved through spending a lot of time in nature or even doing yoga pranayams, for example, or yogic breathing, trying to eliminate stress in your life as much as possible, also getting exercise, getting off of meat and getting into a vegetarian diet, and also detoxification of metals in particular from the body. And I would also throw in there sunlight, because get plenty of sunlight, because that's where you're going to get your vitamin D, and vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. I want to also point out that, as I have understood it, Earth is a learning place for your PhD in spiritual growth. And it has been and is a prison planet immersed in extreme limitations related to deservability and guilt. And I might also add that it's a well-known fact in yoga circles that you can only expect limited results doing techniques without a sense of deservability. Deservability is at the very bottom there, the foundation for having success utilizing techniques. So it really is up to everybody to spend a little bit of time feeling that deservability. And a lot of that, no doubt, comes from your original caregivers, what your concept is concerning that. I'd like to also point out that there's some pitfalls out there that most people aren't paying any attention to, especially in North America. One's around GMO'd foods. There's like 50 countries have banned it because it's harmful. And yet 90% of our food is GMO'd. I mean, and the people that don't pay any attention to the type of water they're drinking with all the fluoride in it. Fluoride calcifies the pineal gland. This is just, you know, it's just ridiculous. These are some things that you need to pay attention to if you want to keep in peace and keep healthy, because once you've lost your health, it's a tough road. And there's an old saying in yoga, there is no yoga if you have boga, and boga means ill health. And now in these times that we're living in, there's more and more challenges out there. And from my opinion, these ridiculous people that are taking these experimental nanotechnologies, it's just insanity. And I don't know what you can say to some of these people, but as you're a spiritual person, avoid it. Do not go there. I should also point out that down the road, I think there's going to be some sorts of new situations that will arise, because I started doing some study into prions, P-R-I-O-N-S. Prions are one of the factors that are involved in mad cow disease, and I heard an interview by Miles Johnston, and he started talking about how some of these mRNA products have prions in them. And then I listened to an interview Carrie Cassidy, who said the same. And then there's now two videos just came out with Cliff High called Shedding Woo and Shedding Woo 2. And then I did my own research, and I actually found online evidence, and you know, there are a lot of things are taken offline, and a lot of truth is taken offline, a lot of things are being censored, but I actually found research centers that haven't published their peer-reviewed results yet, but that have confirmed that there's prions in the mRNA vaccines. So if that's true, then what you're going to see down the road, not necessarily in the next, you know, little while, but probably 18 to 24 months from now, according to some of the scientists and doctors, if you can find them, because it's hard to find good information these days because everybody's had to move their platforms into BitChute or some of these other alternative sites because a lot of truth is being dumped off of their normal platforms, and they've been booted off the normal platforms, a lot of really good information. And if this is true, then there could be down the road these this mad cow disease is contagious. In my view, what we've been experiencing for the last year and a half or so with this supposed virus, in my opinion, viruses don't jump from one person to another, never have, and they've done experiments trying to prove it, even passing on saliva, and they were never successful. So in my opinion, all the social distancing and these masks and all are a bunch of crap. But down the road, the people that have been vaccinated are going to be spreading mad cow disease. And that is contagious. So I want to give my spiritual audience a heads up on that one, because I'm sure not many people are aware of there's already signs of this shedding from some of these people already that are showing up in highly concentrated populations and where there's highly concentrated people taking the jab. So I want to definitely bring that up and give you a heads up on that, because it's going to be quite an issue in our society, I'm sure, in the coming couple of years. So at this point in time in a program, I generally like to give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I hope you picked up a tip or two on abundance tonight. It's definitely the right idea. Interesting how the magic of the universe works and how the human mind and belief work. And I'm going to wrap up the program in the usual way, giving a little bit of an expanded version of the Who Am I technique, which was called the Vichara, that's V-I-C-H-A-R-A. And that was originally taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. In my opinion, he's got a book out called The Path of Self-Knowledge. If you've had any experiences of higher self or above, you'll know by reading that book that Sri Ramana Maharshi was legit. And there's been lots of claims made all over the planet, you know, and there's a lot of fake gurus out there. And I think the rule of thumb that Baba Ram Dass used to talk about was that what attracts you to the legitimate methods of teachers is your own sincerity, and a certain falling away of worldliness automatically attracts you to positive teachers. And when I first saw this technique called the Who Am I technique, it was actually in a radical newspaper in Vancouver, British Columbia, called the Georgia Strait. And I got interested in Baba Ram Dass and in his teachings. If you don't know about him, because he's from quite a while ago, he was a professor at Harvard University who went to India and basically got on the right path of spirituality and came back and started teaching and got fired. But still, since then, he's been helping millions of people with his spiritual wisdom. And first time I tried that technique, I don't know, I went through the doorway. And there's really not an answer to the question, who am I? It's an experience. But it's a very powerful technique, and the way to do it is, at least the way I did it was, is I became the spot in the center of my forehead. And once you become that spot, you can ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times or 100 times. You can, you ask the question, you get the answer in the universe anyway. It's just a question of if you can hear it. But it's not, it's about the technique. And the technique basically is put your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.